This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Straight repeal fails. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, July 27, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Republicans have failed to pass a measure that would have repealed Obamacare, but there's a backup plan that's starting to gain traction.
President Trump takes to social media to announce that he does not want transgender people serving in the military. We'll have reaction.
The Ohio State Fair is open with tragedy. One person was killed and several were hurt when a thrill ride malfunctioned.
And on a lighter note, managing the worst road trip headaches like potholes, spotty cell phone service, and less than ideal bathrooms.
Well, you're driving along the road and you see a road sign that says clean bathrooms, you know you're in trouble because that implies that all of the other bathrooms that you encounter along the way are not going to be clean. And that, unfortunately, is the case on a lot of these longer road trips that you take through what we like to call flyover country.
Consumer advocate Chris Elliott has workarounds for those issues. He's here in about 20 minutes. Senate Republican leaders have picked up support for their plan to pass what's being called a skinny repeal of Obamacare, targeting just a handful of elements in the current health law. The proposal would likely end the mandate that most people have insurance or pay a penalty. It would also overturn the requirement that most employers provide health insurance to their workers. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy says lawmakers have to decide one way or the other before facing voters.
The sight of the gallows concentrates the mind marvelously. Now that people have to vote, they're going to have to tell their constituents they're either for the status quo or they want to improve.
Republican senators said while a skinny repeal would essentially postpone tough decisions on health care until later, there's currently no viable alternative that could get enough votes. Meanwhile, the Senate yesterday rejected a measure to repeal most of the Affordable Care Act, with seven Republicans joining all Democrats. President Trump plans to stop transgender individuals from serving in the U.S. military. On Twitter yesterday, he wrote, quote, "Our military must be focused on overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail." Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler approves.
The bottom line is, do we need to spend any of our precious tax dollars on these surgeries when we have soldiers that are having trouble getting body armor and bullets, and we need more planes, and we have engines falling out of them right now?
Arizona Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema does not like the decision.
They're putting their lives on the line every day to serve our country, and we should be honoring them, respecting them, and supporting them, not engaging in activities that are so disrespectful.
With Mr. Trump saying transgender service brought tremendous medical costs and disruption, a report commissioned by the Pentagon last year found allowing transgenders to serve would have little to no impact on military cohesion or readiness, and that costs would be negligible. After the president's tweets, the Pentagon issued a statement saying only that it would work with the White House to address the new guidance provided by the president. Meanwhile, how did we arrive here? More from USA Today Pentagon correspondent Tom Vandenbroek. Tom, what do we have here first off?
It would appear that the president no longer wants anyone who's a transgender service member to serve. Now, there's an estimated 6,000 transgender service members, and his tweets indicate that he no longer wants them to serve. But the effect of a tweet is not the same as the effect of a regulation. So it's unclear where it is in that process. As I understand it, the NSC is going to have to draft a policy and send it to the Pentagon for implementation. So it's still several steps away from that actually happening, from those troops being told they can no longer serve.
Well, here we are talking about health insurance and tax reform, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a ban on transgender people in the military. Where did this come from?
Well, it's not completely out of nowhere. During discussions about the National Defense Authorization Act, there were amendments that were narrowly defeated that would have prohibited funding for medical treatment for transgender soldiers, and that happened just a couple weeks ago. It attracted some attention and presumably caught the attention of President Trump. So he's also talked about that, about how he doesn't want to spend any money on that. So that may be what triggered this, and then also July 1st, all of the services were supposed to have policies in place to recruit and accept new transgender troops, but they've delayed that for 6 months. So got a couple of things going on here that may have caught his attention.
Any reasons given for this floated transgender ban?
Well, just that, you know, he says he's concerned about, you know, military readiness and the spending associated with it, but you know, the fact is it's not that many people. RAND Corporation, which is nonpartisan and nonprofit, did a study on behalf of the Pentagon last year and found that effects on readiness would be negligible. And the cost of treating transgender troops would probably be about, at the most, $8 million per year.
Yeah. We're speaking with Tom Vandenbroek, Pentagon correspondent at USA Today. So we had a policy, right, announced a year ago, that transgender troops were allowed to serve openly. So it's only been a year?
That's right.
Okay. So before that, was that part of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or this was not even part of that discussion?
It was not part of that discussion. It had continued beyond that. It was separate. So if you were transgender and you were in the military, you wanted to stay in the military, you could not identify as such. If you were identified as a transgender individual, you would have been discharged before this policy was implemented last year for medical reasons.
Boy, who explain both sides of this and who was saying what in support of allowing transgenders to serve in the military versus those who say they don't belong.
Right. Well, you could look at John McCain tweeting out anybody who is, you know, qualified medically and otherwise to serve should be allowed to serve, including transgender troops, right? So if you meet the medical standards, you meet all the other standards, there's no reason to discriminate against transgender individuals. So you have that side of it, and that's the side that was championed last year in the Obama administration by then Defense Secretary Ash Carter. And it was somewhat controversial at the time, but it passed without, you know, too much ruckus. And so now you've got these others coming forward now, including Representative Hartzler from Missouri, who introduced that amendment that I mentioned earlier about spending for medical treatment. And they're saying that this affects readiness, military readiness, and anything that's not spent on, you know, fighting is something that should not happen. So you've got that side of the argument as well. And social conservatives also are weighing in and saying that they simply just don't want transgender troops in the military.
Thanks, Tom. That is Tom Vandenbroek, USA Today Pentagon correspondent. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us, and we are coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Some terrifying moments at the Ohio State Fair in Columbus. One person was killed and several were injured when they were flung into the air after their seats snapped off a ride that lifts and spins. The person killed was an 18-year-old man. The accident occurred when a section of open-air seating snapped off the Fireball, described as an aggressive thrill ride. Ohio Governor John Kasich said all fair rides have now been shut for inspection.
It's kind of hard to imagine that you have family that goes to a state fair and those calls come that there was a terrible accident, a terrible tragedy, and somebody you love was involved.
The seats on the Fireball are in a circular configuration at the end of an arm that swings riders in a pendulum motion as they're being spun. It can hoist riders up to 40 feet in the air. The Columbus Dispatch quoted a fire official saying the man who died was thrown into the air and landed about 50 feet from the ride. It's 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, after 7 years of emphatic campaign promises, Senate Republicans were unable to repeal Obamacare. The Senate voted 55-45 to reject legislation to throw out major portions of the Affordable Care Act without replacing it. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says it's on to the next idea, a scaled-back bill to repeal a handful of elements in the current law.
This certainly won't be easy. Hardly anything in this process has been. But we know that moving beyond the failures of Obamacare is the right thing to do.
The proposal now under discussion would likely end the requirement that most people have insurance or pay a penalty. Health insurers immediately came out against the so-called skinny bill. President Trump abruptly declared a ban on transgender troops serving in the military, catching the Pentagon flat-footed and unable to explain what it called Trump's guidance. His proclamation on Twitter drew bipartisan denunciations and threw currently serving transgender soldiers into limbo. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Obviously, it's a very difficult decision. It's not a simple one, but the president feels that it's the best one for the military.
Sanders couldn't answer questions about how it would be carried out, including what would happen to openly transgender people on active duty. A jury is set to hear closing arguments today at the securities fraud trial of former biotech CEO Martin Shkreli. Prosecutors say Shkreli is a con man who repeatedly lied to investors in two hedge funds he ran into the ground. The defense says he's a misunderstood genius who ended up making money for his alleged victims. Shkreli is best known for jacking up the cost of a life-saving drug and trolling his critics on the internet, earning the nickname Pharma Bro. Google is getting rid of its landmark instant search feature, which automatically populates search results as you type in a query. Instant search was first introduced back in 2010 and was a pivotal change in not just how users experience Google, but also how they use the internet to seek out knowledge. But now, more than half of Google searches happen on mobile, which eliminates the need for the instant search.
Wow, more than half of searches.
Not surprising.
Holy cow. Thank you, Jen. 21 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Glad you could be with us. Time now for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Get away and save up to 30% at participating Lexington and Red Lion Hotels when you book by September 4th. Book your hotel stay and save today. It's the little things, right, that inflict big headaches when you're driving during the summer, like poor road conditions, cellular dead spots, and pretty much anything to do with bathrooms. Here are ideas on how to manage those nuisances from travel expert and consumer advocate Chris Elliott. Chris, set this up.
Well, you're driving along the road and you see a road sign that says clean bathrooms. You know you're in trouble because that implies that all of the other bathrooms that you encounter along the way are not going to be clean. And that, unfortunately, is the case on a lot of these longer road trips that you take through what we like to call flyover country, which, of course, is not really flyover country. People live there. But these standards are not always going to be the same. So there are some places where you can find clean restrooms. I mentioned in the story, a lot of the chain gas stations have standards that are above what maybe you would find there locally. And so you can find, I actually list the gas stations and the stores that have the cleanest bathrooms. And then, of course, road conditions, too. You know, I mentioned that there are so many roads that have potholes in them, and I talk to people who are extremely annoyed by that. All the more reason to have make sure you're driving a nice four-wheel drive with good shocks this summer.
Yeah. I know you pointed out, I think it's Interstate 81, like somewhere in the neighborhood of Syracuse, where people are saying it's just dreadful. But as you point out, like technology these days can help you. You got folks like, the Waze users who are always pumping that information into that app.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, if you use an Android phone and you have Google Maps, that actually will give you a workaround if you know that the highway has lots of problems. Other users will, too. You mentioned Waze. That's absolutely a great way of finding out if it's a good road or not. And then there are workarounds. I mentioned a couple of workarounds for 81. There are some access roads or service roads that you can use if you're having issues with the potholes. And that's, even if potholes are not one of your annoyances, you should still be using something like Waze, which can tell you if there are slowdowns or traffic issues coming up, and then it can actually give you a nice workaround for that.
We're speaking with consumer advocate and travel expert Chris Elliott. He's written a piece entitled The Worst Road Trip Annoyances and What to Do About Them. How about these dead zones for our cell phones?
Yeah, I mentioned this in the story. There are a couple of sites that can help you find out where your dead zones are. A lot of cellular carriers will even give you a map of where the dead zones are. And this is especially true if you're driving somewhere like through the desert and anywhere in the western United States where maybe you don't have complete cell phone coverage. You want to make sure that you're covered, and if you're not, then you can maybe stop by one of these service stations that I mentioned in my USA Today story, and you can check your email there, use their Wi-Fi. But that is unfortunately a really common thing. You know, I-10 is, I've spent a lot of time on I-10 summer, and there are areas there where you just get off and you've got nothing. So really important to remember that if you're living in a big city, that's that cellular service that you enjoy, you might not have that when you're driving through some of the less populated areas.
I had no idea, by the way, that Nebraska has the least pothole-littered roads. What is it that they do in the Cornhusker State different from other states?
You know, now I just have to make an educated guess. I think that they have, obviously, they're funding their roads, which is, not every state does that. Some of them just rely on federal money, and then they throw in a little bit of their own. But Nebraska also just has fewer roads, probably.
Thanks, Chris. That's consumer advocate and travel expert Chris Elliott. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, July 27. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Senate can't pass a straight Obamacare repeal, but there's a backup plan called a skinny repeal. Trump wants to ban transgenders in the military. The Taiwanese tech company Foxconn is building a $10 billion plant in Wisconsin and adding 3,000 jobs. One dead, several hurt when a ride malfunctioned at the Ohio State Fair. State Department warning about tainted booze at Mexican resorts. USA Soccer beat Jamaica for the Gold Cup. And the woman who unknowingly repaid a stranger. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, some political theorists and economists, including conservatives, suggest that one of the biggest mistakes regarding the repeal and replacement of Obamacare may be the reluctance by Republicans to acknowledge that significant parts of the law were based on conservative principles. As Stephanie Aiken at Roll Call reports, that's left the GOP without a foundation for a viable alternative. Stephanie, explain.
One thing that tends to be overlooked right now in the polarized political atmosphere is that Obamacare was, in some respects, an attempt to create a moderate plan that would incorporate conservative ideas.
So explain some of the roots of this, because you pointed out, like, in the mid-90s, there was something like 20 Republicans who agreed to something along the lines of an individual mandate back then, right?
Yeah, some of these ideas have been floating around for a really long time, and it's all an attempt to kind of correct some of the problems with the insurance marketplace. You know, Republicans say they want a free market, but insurance really isn't a free market because consumers don't have the same kind of information that you have, say, when you're going to buy a bar of soap. So back when all of this was theoretical in the 80s, a lot of conservatives said, what if we had some kind of insurance exchange. How do we get people to participate? How do we keep prices lower? And they came up with this idea of what we now call, always called it, an individual mandate, which is basically, you know, a requirement that people sign up or they face some kind of penalties. That idea was all very theoretical until Hillary Clinton came along and Republicans thought, Democrats are going to come up with this single-payer model. We need an alternative. And that's the first time you see some legislation with this single-payer idea, with the individual mandate idea worked in.
See, I'm no political expert, but the individual mandate, right, in which a government mandates you purchase something that is being offered doesn't strike me as conservative. It gives the government too much power. I don't know. I may not be understanding that.
Well, the idea is if you have an insurance marketplace, people who are likely to sign up for health insurance are generally people who are older and sicker, and their health insurance costs more. So you have to encourage younger and healthier people to sign up and bring down costs for everybody, or else it's just going to be way too expensive.
Yeah.
So the individual mandate idea was meant to correct that problem. And there are different ways to do that, either through, tax incentives or through fines, which is what we have right now. But that originally was something that conservative economists came up with as a solution.
Yeah. We're speaking with Stephanie Aiken, special projects reporter at Roll Call. She's written a piece entitled Analysis, Moving Past Obamacare May Include Embracing Some of Its Conservative Roots. Part of the equation in here, I think, as you point out, is that the Republican Party has changed, too, over that time.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that I was speaking with said, back in the 90s, there were a lot more conservative Republicans who were willing to negotiate and come to middle grounds. We don't really have that anymore. And a lot of the Republicans now who are opposing Obamacare, the libertarians, the constitutionalists, they are kind of moving in a completely different direction where they're saying, we don't want government participation at all. They would like to get rid of all entitlements. And, on the opposite extreme, you have progressives saying, wait a minute, Obamacare was a moderate plan. It didn't work. Why don't we go back to single payer? So it's a lot harder to find middle ground today.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie Aiken at Roll Call. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's become one of the hottest debates on the internet in recent months. Are hot dogs considered sandwiches or not? A quick Google search on the question will return over 30 million responses. Now, a Kentucky newspaper has waded into the debate, correcting stories dating back 130 years that may have given legitimacy to the hot dogs are sandwiches side of the debate. The Louisville Courier-Journal issued corrections to 10 articles ranging from 1887 to 1966, saying that among the errors were references to a Frankfurter sausage sandwich, Frankfurter sandwich, Coney Island sandwich, Frankfurter sandwich with mustard, and most egregious, a Frankfurter sandwich with ketchup.
Oof.
Ketchup spelled C-A-T-C-H-U-P, kind of old school. And they concluded by saying, "We deeply regret the errors, especially that last one." Joel Christopher, the paper's executive editor, defended the corrections by tweeting, "We're deadly serious about accuracy," at the Courier-Journal.
Apparently. Wow.
Stirring up a bit of controversy. And then, of course, the pro-sandwich people are sort of jumping in there and, tweeting back. And it started a bit of a feud now.
Very good. Well, these are important issues we need to resolve in this country.
So where do you stand on this issue? Are they high sandwiches or not?
Got to be honest, never thought that much about it. As long as it resembles sausage.
Yeah.
It's good with me.
As long as it's in your belly,
exactly.
It really doesn't matter. Yeah,
Is it like the bread thing because it's between bread
right.
It appears in a sandwich?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I've never called a hot dog a sandwich, but if somebody did, I wouldn't, punch them in the face
That's
or
correct.
Something like that. So,
I would merely ask for sauerkraut and mustard.
Yes. I like that.
And then you can call it whatever you want.
You and I have similar hot dog orders. We need to go grab one after the show.
And with a beer.
And Washington Nationals star Bryce Harper, Gordon, is known for occasionally getting into heated confrontations with umpires, usually over ball and strike calls. Though now in his sixth season in the league, Harper might be doing some soul searching. After his 10th career ejection last night, Harper was less quick to blame the umpires and instead put the blame on the walk-up music he uses before at bats. Currently, a clip from the song 5 a.m. by Logic. After the game, Harper said that he thinks he needs to change his walk-up playlist because Logic gets him a little too fired up. Harper went on to say that maybe mixing in some Temptations or some jazz bands might calm him down a bit.
That's the music that gets him fired up?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, that was one of the calmer sections. There's a lot of curses in there, so we had to be careful about what we pulled out. But, he says Logic gets him a little too fired up. In fact, he was on a phone call with his brother yesterday discussing that very issue about how he gets fired up by Logic before he comes up, which I guess might be a good thing if he's trying to hit a home run or something, but not so much when he has a questionable ball and strike call.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could wind up swinging at the first pitch over your head and missing, if you're too fired up or aggressive, something like that.
Yeah, taking it easy might be a good idea.
Not the only ejection last night, by the way.
Okay.
I happen to be looking at Adrian Beltre of the Rangers.
Yes.
Who was told to get in the on-deck circle while he was on deck, and instead he picks up the circle and drags it to like 10 feet where he felt it should be, and he was promptly ejected.
Love Adrian Beltre. he's a national treasure, Adrian Beltre.
A little color in baseball last night. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the Ohio State Fair, where one person was killed and seven others were injured when an aggressive thrill ride broke apart, will be open today, but the rides won't be running until they're all determined to be safe. Dramatic video shows the fireball ride swinging back and forth like a pendulum and spinning in the air when it crashes into something and part of the ride flies off. Screams are heard as passengers are thrown to the ground. Ohio Governor John Kasich.
You know, the fair is about the best things in life. And then tonight with this accident, it becomes a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Three of the injured are in critical condition. Officials say the ride had passed its inspections. A group of 10 Republican and Democratic governors are calling on Senate leaders to heed John McCain's plea for bipartisan work on overhauling Obamacare. In a letter, the governors urged the leaders, particularly top Republican Mitch McConnell, to set aside this flawed bill and work with them on making health care more available and affordable for everyone. Criticism was immediate and strong from both political parties after President Trump abruptly declared a ban on transgender troops serving anywhere in the military. Arizona Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema.
Any American who's willing to risk his or her life to protect and serve our country deserves our gratitude and our respect.
But Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler says she's happy Trump took this stance.
The bottom line is, do we need to spend any of our precious tax dollars on these surgeries when we have soldiers that are having trouble getting body armor and bullets, and we need more planes and we have engines falling out of them right now?
No word from the White House on how the ban will be carried out and what will happen to the openly transgender people on active duty. The U.S. men's soccer resurgence is off to an impressive start since Bruce Arena returned as coach late last year. Another CONCACAF Gold Cup crown, and now on to the business of qualifying for next year's World Cup. Former Stanford star Jordan Morris scored a tie-breaking goal in the 88th minute, and the U.S. beat Jamaica 2-1 last night for its sixth Gold Cup title and first since 2013.
Very nice. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Heartwarming story out of Watkinsville, Georgia. 3 years ago, Tunde Hector was down on her luck. Her car had run out of gas. She had $5 in her pocket and a long walk ahead of her in the pouring rain. But that was the same day Ms. Hector met Chris Wright, who was driving with his family to church when he picked up Ms. Hector, filled up her empty gas can, and handed her all the cash he had in his wallet. Years later, when his mother fell ill with Parkinson's disease, the family brought in nursing staff to take care of her. Guess who was part of that nursing staff? That's right, Ms. Hector. None of the parties were aware of the connection until Ms. Hector was sharing her dreams about attending college and talked about this chance encounter back in 2014. Well, Mr. Wright was in the room at the time with his mother and blurted out, "That was me." By the way, Ms. Hector's dedication to the family meant so much that when Mr. Wright's mother eventually died from the Parkinson's, they asked family and friends to donate to Ms. Hector's college fund in lieu of sending flowers. The fund, by the way, is now worth more than 20 grand. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.